Okay, I'm going to be talking about improving options for healthy food in an urban food desert, which is this Cherry Hill neighborhood. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues and my friends, Juanita Ewell, who is a community member whose picture you will see in my presentation, and Meg Gobrecht-Miller, and she is at Harbor Hospital. And I don't have any disclosures. And this is what I'll be talking about, just reviewing some background information about a community garden that was established, how we've started a farmers market in the community, how a virtual supermarket program has come to the community, and some exciting future opportunities. So this is a map from the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, and you'll see where I've pointed out that the Cherry Hill neighborhood is in southwest Baltimore. It is the purple identifies it as a food desert, and the nearest grocery store is 2.3 miles away. And it's somewhat isolated. It's geographically isolated from the rest of the city. So some demographics about the community. As I said, 2.3 miles from the supermarket. It's 97% African American. And if you look at the bottom, it has some of the highest in the city out of 55 communities in the city. It is ranked third in heart disease mortality, second in stroke mortality, and 12th in diabetes mortality. So I don't have to tell everybody here what a food desert is, an area where food is non-existent, not healthy, or too expensive. It's an issue of access and can be defined by distance and or transportation being obstacles. And those are definitely things that exist in Cherry Hill. So we have to kind of do some time travel back to January 2010. I just come to Towson University as a new faculty member, and a few months before that, and my university has a relationship with the Cherry Hill community, especially in the areas of improving education opportunities. And definitely a food desert, as you know. There was not a grocery store. A Family Dollar store was getting ready to open up in the place where the grocery store used to be in about 4 or 5 months from January. There were a few corner stores, chicken boxes, Chinese food, and definitely little or no access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So a food committee came together, included me, community members, and Meg Miller, who's the Harbor Hospital Director of Community Relations. We identified some of the food issues in that community. From the community and the community member, Juanita Ewald said, you know, I really want to do a community garden. We need to have that. And Meg and the Harbor Hospital wanted to do a farmer's market. So that's January. In February, I learned that the Baltimore Community Foundation was doing, had some grants that were going to be coming available, but you had to apply. You had to go to a mandatory thing February 1st, apply by March 1st. Did that application, sent it in, and there was another application that Constellation Energy had, so I was able to rework the first grant, and lo and behold, we got $5,000 from Baltimore Community Foundation and $5,000 from Constellation Energy to start Community Garden. And so we secured the land in September from the Housing Authority of Baltimore. This land had been had public housing on it, but they had kind of imploded the property about 11 years before. So we got we got access to the land with a lease agreement. Used some of the money to repair the fence. So we needed to put in a gate for security. And that building across the way is Senior Manor, and that's very good because Senior Manor people can look out there. Their windows and see if there's anything going on in the garden that shouldn't be going on. And so in October there was a work day. We were able to purchase a shipping container, which is the Arrow, and you know that was just a start. We had to start to ready the land for the next season. So in the springtime we did some planting with children of some seeds in an after-school program in Cherry Hill, one of the schools. And that's Miss Juanita Ewell and some of the children in the after-school program. And you know, some of the seeds that are definitely grew. And then we did some transplanting of those seeds with the children and the after-school program. And then we also did, because I was I'm a dietitian and I really wanted to encourage people, the people in the community, especially the kids, to start learning how to eat these vegetables if they're going to be growing the seeds. And they were very, very open, and we decided to break it into boys and the girls, because then there was a little bit of competition there. And so the kids really got into it. And what you see here, kids making some salads, there were some pictures in magazines, and they got to choose which of the salads that they wanted to make. And so, and the boys very happy, that they're very proud of their accomplishments. And what I'd really like to do is to take two of the kids who were really excited about the cooking and have them join with me to help educate the grown-ups about healthy eating, because they've been involved, and some of them are really very good at it, and I'd love to have them partner with me. So one, a Towson University student, did some painting on the shipping container, so that it was very clear to people in the community that what was going on there was growing fruits and vegetables. Then we were able to purchase some equipment, and also got a lot of donations from people in the community, from other people. We used we looked on FreeCycle, if any of you know what that is. So FreeCycle, we got those things. So now there's enough supplies and equipment to do the farming job. We use some drip irrigation. There's a fire hydrant that's somewhat far away, so with one long hose, we can then connect and use the drip irrigation. And that's Miss Juanita and her great-granddaughter, who's becoming a little farmer herself. And Juanita is very, very resourceful, and she came into some trash barrels, so she could fill it with the hose from the fire hydrant, and then cut a hole in it so that it became like a rain barrel too. So there was a place to collect water where the rocks are holding down some mesh. And so that's some of the food that was grown. We did use landscape cloth to help make sure that there wouldn't be any bad environmental things coming up from the ground. We did have the soil tested, it was fine, but this was one of the requirements from the Baltimore Community Foundation. We had to assure that it would be safer. And so there are some challenges in a project like this. It's very hard to get volunteers. It's coming along slowly, but volunteers are hard. We need to get better water access, and our person in the Department of Planning and the city has been very good. Says it's coming. But it's very important to know your people in city government. It would be great if we could get access to some electricity for some refrigeration for harvest next year. Restroom facilities would be also really very nice. And we still haven't come up with some very good money procedures for how we're going to be collecting the money and putting it in the bank and all of that. So the farmers market, that was the second item on the issue. And so in September and October of 2010, remember our meeting is January, September and October, we were able to have the first farmers markets April through September, and it happened in the parking lot. They're only monthly farmers markets, and it attracts people mainly from the hospital, some community members, but there's some geography issues where the hospital parking lot is across a very busy intersection, and so that becomes a challenge there. And there's some participation statistics. About 300 people participated in the fall, and they started a better way of measuring attendance. And so in the six markets this year, they had almost 1,200 people come through. So this was on the Harbor Hospital website, listing the dates and then listing some of the different vendors that were willing to participate. And they weren't all food. You know, we were able to get some, iced gems. They were, cupcakes. But it's food, and it's getting people out and coming people to enjoy the food, and so that was really important. And here's some pictures that Meg took from the farmers markets in 2010, one of the farmers, and a girl happy with her pumpkins. So These were some good things. There are some challenges, of course, with that. Because it's a monthly market, we're unable to accept any SNAP benefits because those are in the state, it's only if you have a weekly market. It would be great to engage more of the people in the community, as I mentioned, the geography. Securing vendors has been very hard, once again, because it's a monthly market. And there are a lot of weather challenges. But if you have a weekly market, okay, so it might rain sometimes. But when it's only once a month, and then you had a couple rainy days, that actually caused us, and the bad weather meant that the farmers didn't have as much food, so that they decided to cancel the October market. And the final project that's been happening in Baltimore is a virtual supermarket program that has been funded through grants through the City Department of Public Health. And it was started in Cherry Hill in February of 2011, so about a year after we had our first meeting. And they had started in other places in the city as well. So how it works is residents come to the library, and in our case, Cherry Hill, it's Thursdays. They order their groceries online. They submit, there's a small local grocery store, Santoni's, who's been willing to partner to do this. And so people can put their order in. It's sort of like a Peapod or other programs that you may have in where you live. And then the residents pay for and pick up their groceries the very next day at the library, and it's all identified. Some participation statistics, they've had 43 unique customers, 113 orders have been placed, and the mean order amount is 39. The goal is, of course, to get more people involved. Some of the challenges that community residents would like other venues, maybe they would like it, the senior manor, because it would be really great, senior manor and other public housing, because the people still have to transport their groceries from the library to where they live, and of course increasing participation. And we do have some future plans. I'm very happy to say that we applied to the USDA for a People's Garden Grant, and we found out in September that we'll be one of the sites to be doing that. And our goal is to establish 4 school gardens, 4 community gardens, do education programs in the city, engage the community, and do some workforce development. And that grant has started October 1st and will go for 2 years. So it's really very exciting. And had we not done all the other work that we had started last year, we would have never been able to rank to be one out of 366 applications that was actually funded. And so some words of encouragement, if any of you are planning on thinking about doing some of this in your community, you must find other enthusiastic people. I mean, you're enthusiastic, but when you find other people like that, it's good. Start small, maybe find some community grants to get started. Utilize resources from the community. People from community government, important local universities, gardening resources. In Baltimore, we have something called the Parks and People Foundation, and they have a community green resource network. So those people, master gardeners, they've been really very helpful. Another thing that Juanita did is she's a former police officer, and she got the idea when people commit petty crimes, they have to do community service. So she went and worked and met with the person who was working down at the court where the people have to do their community service, and he was able to supply different people over the course of the year. Sometimes they were great and sometimes they weren't, but she was able to get some extra labor. And lots of donations free cycle as people saw the garden growing. A neighbor who lived across the way knocked on her door, says, "I work for a hardware store, and I was telling my boss about it, and he came and gave her a big bag of seeds that they would have to turn in anyway." So there's, as Juanita says, the blessings keep coming, and so that I hope that you have that same thing, and of course, be patient. Sometimes you think, oh, things are taking so long, and then when we really look and think about what we accomplished in just a very short period of time, we're really quite proud of that. And that's my contact information. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.